We're going to be talking about temptation today. Temptation. And we're going to be talking about, in the message today, the analysis of temptation. If we can take temptation and break it down and understand how it operates, then we can be more prepared to overcome it. Amen? Let's begin to read from James chapter 1, verses 12 through 16. Let's read out loud the Word of God, which will be the foundation and the basis for our understanding the analysis of temptation. Verse 12 says, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, and He Himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." When we read in the Word of God in chapter 1, verse 2, that every child of God should consider it all joy whenever we encounter various trials, that means that we're not simply supposed to act joyful. Can I get a witness? It means we're not to put on a smiley face and pretend like all is well in the world. What it really means is we're to be joyful. We don't pretend it, we don't act it, and we don't manufacture it. We become joyful. Being joyful in the middle of various trials is a matter of the will and not a matter of the feelings. How many of you had such a hard time in life that you didn't feel like being joyful? But I'm glad that the Word doesn't say, feel like being joyful. It says, be joyful. It should be a conscious, determined commitment on every single child of God's life to be joyful. That is to have a deep, inner sense of a settled peace that no matter how it looks, no matter how it feels, all is well with my soul and God. Now, since God commands us to do it, it's something that's within our control. It's something within our grasp. It's something within our ability to make happen. When we choose to consider it all joy, we actually develop a spiritual toughness, a strength about us that allows us to endure and to persevere in all kinds of circumstances. Now, Jesus is our model. And Jesus, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, that for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross while despising the shame of it all. In other words, Jesus looked beyond the trial, and He saw the joy that He knew was His, and He chose to be joyful even in the midst of that trial. Well, today I want to call your attention to something that I discovered in the text. Like last week, I discovered that the author of this epistle that we call James is not James at all. He is the Lord's half-brother, but when you read in the Greek text, it is Jacob. It's an interesting thing to me. But I found something equally interesting in this week's text as well. In chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, when you see the word trial, and you see in chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, the word tempted, do you know that's the same word? It's the word, same word, periasmos. And what's interesting about that is that the word has the ability to change meanings based on your response or my response. And what I mean by that is our response determines whether it is a trial or a temptation. And today I'm going to show you in the analysis of temptation, how you can kick temptation out the window of your life and consider it all joy when you encounter any kind of a trial that comes into your life. Amen? Well, let's look and see what we can do if we can explain by this. You've heard it said that the devil will tempt you to bring out the worst in you, but God will test you to bring out the best in you. And that is true. And that is something to do with the nature of trials and temptations. That while you're going through a circumstance, you're going through a particular situation, the devil wants to turn a trial into a temptation. But God wants to take the potential of a temptation and turn it into a trial that you can be joyful in. And we're going to show you some things about that today. With that in mind, I want to draw your attention to three specific observations that I have put together in this message that I've titled The Analysis of Temptation. First of all, when it comes to temptation, the source of our temptation must be personalized. The source of our temptation must be personalized. Now, in order for the source to be personalized, there's two things that you need to be aware of that I need to keep in mind. First of all, there is a thought about temptation that must be rejected. There is a thought about a temptation that must be rejected by us. And what is that thought that must be rejected? Verse 13, that I am being tempted by whom? By God. That thought cannot even be a part of our existence. It cannot even be a part of our mental process because God never tempts anybody. And a good student of the Word could find some apparent contradictions to that statement that we have here. For example, in the life of Jesus, the Bible tells us that after He was sealed with the Holy Spirit at His public baptism, that He was compelled by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, if the Holy Spirit compelled Him into the wilderness, into the desert region, to be tempted by the devil, that sounds like God's tempting His own Son. Well, we know that's not true because here's what we understand about that. The Holy Spirit compelled Him into the wilderness. And again, the word tempted and the word trial or testing is the same word. The Holy Spirit compelled Jesus into the wilderness region, into the desert region, to be tested. But Satan saw it and seized it as an opportunity to tempt Him. And so he put before Him a series of tests, and we know from Matthew chapter 4, verses 2 through 11, how Jesus responded to those temptations by the devil, which resulted in trials or testing in His life. There's another example that seems to be a little bit contradictory to this thought that we must reject. In the Lord's Prayer or the disciples' prayer, He says, pray this way, lead us not into what? Temptation. Now, that sounds like there is a possibility that that God could lead us into temptation. But again, the word for temptation and the word for testing is the same. And the only way that you know the difference is how you respond to it. And so what Jesus was teaching us that we need to pray in times like that is, Lord, because of my immaturity, I have a vulnerability to being tempted. So Lord, don't lead me into a region, to a season of testing that I'm not ready to overcome and consider all joy until I can be proven to persevere under that. So when we come to the source of temptations, we've got to learn to personalize the source And the very first aspect of personalizing that source is there is a thought that we must reject. But secondly, not only is there a thought that we must reject, there is a truth that we must respect. Can I have your attention right there, please? What is the truth that we must respect if we are truly going to personalize the understanding of temptation's source? Because every temptation that you have and every temptation that I have has a source. And there is a truth about temptation that we've got to respect. All right, what is that truth? It's found in the text. Look at this. But each one, what? Don't you wish it was tempted? You was tempted. Now you're not tempted anymore. But if I could take and give you a simple Greek lesson this morning, this phrase, but each one is tempted, is in the continuing tense. Present tense, continuing action. Each one is being tempted. And that is a truth that you've got to respect. First of all, the each one phrase and the is tempted phrase. All right, when we say each one, guess who we're talking about? You. Each one of you. Each one of us. It has a universal application to it. Every single one of us are tempted. But beyond that, it even goes more. But each one of us has been tempted, is being tempted, shall be tempted, will continue to be tempted. Can I get a witness to that this morning? The source of temptation must be personalized. There is a thought that we must reject, but there is a truth that we must respect. Temptation is going to be a part of my life as long as I have this earth suit. Do you know you're in an earth suit today? And as long as you're in that earth suit, you're going to be tempted. All right, let's move on to number two. Number two. There is not only a source that must be personalized, but there is a force to temptation that must be recognized. Can I get a witness to temptation's force in somebody's life today? Has somebody got a temptation that you're going through that, man, there is a force to it that seems to be supernatural? There is a force associated with your temptation that just is just wiping the stripe off of your candy cane. Temptation has a tremendous power to it. It has a tremendous allure with it. And how do we come about to understand temptation? Because if you don't understand the nature of temptation, there's a good chance you won't understand the way of escaping it. Let me show you two things about the force and recognizing it. First of all, the bait is observed through what? A look. The bait is observed through a look. Now the scripture says that each one of us is tempted when he is what? Carried away. How many fishermen do we have in the congregation today? Now that word carried away is a word that's used of fishing bait or hunting bait. And what it is that in order for it to be enticing to what you're trying to catch, it has to be appealing to what you're trying to catch. And if it's in the sense of a fishing lure, then you have to throw it out and you have to somehow, in some way, get the fish to look at the bait you're trying to use. And so every single one of us would be susceptible to some bait. Now, I need you to be thinking in your mind about your sin that does so easily ensnare you. You got at least one. Don't look at me like you don't have one. Every single one of us has something. And if you're fortunate, it's only something that is just appealing to you, that shouldn't be appealing to you. And the only way for temptation to gather momentum in your life is for the force to gather in your life is for the bait to be observed. Now, what bait have you been observing lately that you shouldn't be observing? The bait for your temptation, and you got one, or two, or three, or four, it is observed. It is observed through some kind of a look. It might be a literal look, or it might be a mental look. It could be something you've seen in the past and now has been brought back to your mind, saying, look at this again. And maybe you're not even literally seeing it anymore, but mentally you've developed the picture. And that's what James is saying, that every one of us is tempted when he is lured or carried away. Number two, not only the bait is observed through a look, but the desire is preserved through our what? Well, that's a four-letter word, isn't it? Can we be honest with one another today? You struggle with lust. It may not be lust over anything sexual, or it may be lust over everything sexual. But just because you don't have one kind of a lust doesn't mean that you don't lust. Every single one of us can be swept away with the force of temptation when we observe through a look something that we desire. And when we desire it, that desire is preserved. What does preserve mean? It means protected. It means safe. It means it's nurtured and all of that. All of that happens when we have a desire that we preserve through lust. Now the word lust is epithumia, and it simply means strong desire. Now desire is related to emotion. Somebody say emotion. It's a desire to be satisfied by acquiring something that in our mind we think is going to make us happy or better off if we have it. It could be a piece of jewelry. It could be a new toy. It could be any number of other things. But it starts with a strong desire, and you begin to have an emotional longing to possess what it is that you saw. Let me be transparent with you, and let me tell you about a personal struggle that I'm going through. I do it to illustrate a point, to scare my wife, but to become accountable. You see, there's something that I want really bad. And the bait has been observed through a look. The desire is being preserved through lust. A strong desire to have something that you think that you need. You're saying, what in the world is he confessing to here today? I want a pickup truck. She knew it. She knew it. She knew it. It's amazing. It's amazing how many pickup trucks are for sale. It's amazing how many commercials are on TV where they're going to give you thousands of dollars if you buy one of their trucks. I've got all kind of ministry reasons why I need a pickup truck. Because I continue to look, the desire is continuing to be preserved. It will continue to be deserved in your, preserved in your life as well until you learn what to do with the temptation. The temptation. Well, there is this incredible force that's always associated with our temptations. We must recognize it for what it is and for how much power or force that it carries with it. So we see the source that must be personalized. We see the force that must be recognized. But notice the third thing in the message today. The course must be neutralized. The course of temptation. How many of you know there's a source of temptation? Say amen. Amen. It's not God. All right. How many of you know from experience that there is a force associated with temptation? It's strong sometimes. Well, you need to also know that there is a course that temptation follows. There's a source, there's a force, and there's a course. What is it about the course that we need to know that will help us to neutralize the course so that we can overcome the temptation? Well, there's three things that I want to show you about this course. First of all, deception must be respected when it comes to temptation. Deception must be respected when it comes to temptation. Look at what it says. Every man is tempted when he is carried away by his what? Own lust. Now temptation is not a fool, though it is foolish. Whenever we are tempted with anything, the temptation says, this will be good for you. You need this. You deserve this. Think of how much good you could do if you had this. And it's not as if we understand the full picture. You see, we are being carried away. All right? If you're being carried away, it means you're being taken from one place to another place. You're being carried away from truth. You're being carried away from God's will. You're being carried away from protection. And you're being carried away to someplace else. But you're being carried away through deception. You don't realize you're leaving a safe place. You don't realize you're leaving a wise place. You don't realize you're leaving a secure place. You don't realize you're leaving a blessed place. You don't realize a lot of things. And if you're going to ever neutralize the course of temptation in your life, that means the pattern that it follows, that means the result that it intends, then you're going to have to learn to respect the deceptive nature of temptation. You see, here's the thing about temptation. Temptation never says to you, now do this and I'll destroy your life. Temptation never says, drink this and you're going to throw your guts up in the morning. Temptation never says, have sex with this person here and you're going to get a sexually transmitted disease. Temptation never says, do this and it'll destroy your health. No, temptation always says, oh, you need this. Oh, this will be so good for you. This will be so much fun. Oh, this will be so exciting. This will be so satisfying. This is what you've been missing. This is what you've been needing. This is what you've been lacking. And we have to come to respect the deception that comes along with temptation. Can I tell you how close I've been to buying a pickup truck? It'll make up seem down. It'll make left seem right. It'll make wrong seem good. It is so deceptive. But it must be respected. And that's why you need some accountability in your life. Whenever you're thinking that this is a wise thing, whenever you're thinking that this is going to satisfy you, is going to make you better, is going to be blessable, you need somebody you can run that by that's not being deceived, that's not in the fog. And you need somebody that's not just a yes person to you, but will speak truth back to you. There is a deception along the course of being tempted that we must learn to respect. Number two. Not only is it deception that must be respected, but look at this next one now. Conception must be expected. Now look at this. I didn't make this word up. I didn't make this concept up. Then when lust has what? Conceived. Do you realize that we probably have a lot of pregnant people here this morning? And I'm not talking biological pregnancy. We probably have any number of people who are sitting here or who will listen to this over the internet or through a CD that is pregnant with sin. That through temptation that has been going on in your life, you have not dealt with it properly, and you have been enticed, and you've been carried away by your own strong desire to have it, that you become so deceived that you not even realize you're walking around with infant sin inside of you, in your mind, in your heart, in your body. That's what he's talking about. You can't play with fire and not expect to get burned. You can't walk through the smoke and not expect to smell like smoke. And you can't dabble around temptation without expecting to become pregnant with the sin you're being tempted to have. So, if I drive up next week in a pickup truck, you know we had a baby. I'm not just making light of that. I've been close to trying to drive up in a pickup truck. Oh my goodness. Conception must be expected. Here's what happens. When lust begins plotting how you're going to get what you want, then the baited hook becomes the seduction. And once you have taken a bite of the bait, and once you have been seduced by the prostitution of that baited hook, then you become pregnant in the womb of your will. The power of deception was not respected, and your will became pregnant through lust, and the only thing that's left is for you to give birth to the sin. James 1:15 says, "Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth what? Death." James uses a biological illustration that corresponds exactly to a spiritual principle in our life that we must pay close attention to. It's not that you're simply going to be seduced. It's not that you're simply going to conceive the seed of sin in the womb of your will. It means that that thing's going to be delivered. And when it's delivered, it's ultimately going to end in death for you. Not always physical death. Not always spiritual death, but sometimes financial death, financial ruin, sometimes relationship death, you know, and other kinds as well. But death is the end of it. So when we understand the force of temptation and we want to neutralize the course of temptation, then deception must be respected and conception must be expected, but listen very carefully what I'm about to say here. for this third one, just a moment. Let me set it up. I'm going to say something here that I don't think I'll ever say again in any other context. I want you to hear it in this context so that when I say it, that either you don't misunderstand it or you don't misquote it to somebody else and they take wrong what I'm about to say. Abortion must be selected if you find yourself pregnant with sin. Now, I'm not talking about aborting a fetus. I'm not talking about aborting a baby. I'm talking about aborting the sin that you have conceived. Verse 15 says, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Verse 16, do not be deceived. Whom? My beloved brethren. It very well may be that I'm talking to someone here today that came in here pregnant with a sin that's a product of your own lust. That you've come in here today and I don't know if you're midterm or in your last trimester, but if you keep going on, you're about to bring forth a birth of sin in your life. And if that sin is allowed to be born, then the consequences of sin are death. But God's brought you here today to understand the analysis of temptation so that you can present yourself to Him for the abortion of this sin that you find yourself pregnant with. It's going to be up to you to deal with it that drastically. And what it is that you've gotten pregnant with may not be a bad thing in and of itself. You know, a pickup truck's not a bad thing. Every man ought to have a pickup truck. And in God's time, and in God's time, and in God's way, He'll see to it that I get a pickup truck. The blessings of the Lord make one rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. If I went and got a pickup truck this week, I would enjoy the blessings of the pickup truck. Then after 30 days, the sorrow would come. I enjoy not having a car payment. I have to drive a 10-year-old vehicle to do that. But that's okay. There's no sorrow with that. But when you're being tempted to move up in this world, you forget all about the sorrow that comes with it. You forget all about the 72 months of sorrow that's going to take to pay for that baby. You forget all about the other things that you could be giving to make that happen. One of the worst things that happens to us in the area of financial temptation is we qualify for so much. But there's a difference when qualifying for something and being able to afford something. You might qualify for another relationship, but can you afford it? You might qualify for pornography, but can you afford it? You might qualify for an affair, but can you afford it? And if you don't abort that product of lust that's in your will right now, you're going to give birth to sin. And sin is going to bring death into everything that you touch. Now, that's been a strong word today, but I hope that you've gotten it. I've confessed my biggest temptation today. I'm going to be amazing to see what the devil moves on to from there. Or, if I don't deal with the deception aspect of it, I'll pull up with a pick 'em up truck and try to rationalize to you how this is the blessing of the Lord. Or I won't drive it around you, and I'll keep it in my garage. Don't look at me like you've never tried to cover up some of your blessings. You understand what I'm saying, right? The analysis of temptation. Now apply it to anything you're being tempted with. Anything you're being tempted with. We've spoken lightly and we've spoken freely about this thing here. But temptation is common to every single one of us. But here's what I know about the temptation. With every temptation that comes to your me, God is faithful. And He's promised not to allow you or me to be tempted beyond what we're able to withstand. With the temptation, He will provide the way of escape for you. So what's my way of escape? I have to quit looking on the internet for bargains for pickup trucks. What's my way of escape? I have to quit investigating every for sale truck for sale that I see. What's your way of escape from your temptation? The bait is observed through a look. And the desire is preserved through lust. Today is the day that God wants to give you an opportunity to abort the sin before it gives birth. Would you bow your heads, please? Father, as we come to You today, we thank You for the clarity and the straightforward message from Your Word. Lord, this is where we all live. And Lord, I'm asking You to draw the net to the one who's closest to giving birth to his or her sin. Lord, I'm asking You to bring the one who's closest to delivering death into their life to consider abortion of this sin. Lord, You're the only one who can do this properly. And so, Lord, we submit to You for this deliverance. Thank You that when we have endured the temptation and we've had joy in our trial, there is laid up for us a crown of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.